You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Happiness Patrol. It's episode 131. We are, of course, we're always excited. We are always excited because Doctor Who's back on the air.
Palindromic episode numbers.
Yay.
Matt 10 times fast.
Mark Gatiss wrote this next one. This is a cool one. Third one in the series. Robot of Sherwood. We're going to talk about it in a second. You know why, Chaz?
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now!
So we are back. We are back with the third episode of Doctor Who in this season. Peter Capaldi is not disappointing anybody so far. I don't think so. You can say what you will about the story so far. Some are good. Some are bad. Everybody has their little opinions on them. That's true because we're Whovians. And if there's one thing a Whovian has, Chaz,
it's an opinion.
That's for sure. And hey, Chaz, how are things up in the great white north?
It is beautiful outside, just ridiculously cool, and not cool as in fall, but cool as in nice summer day.
So September is the time to visit.
Yes. Oh, we have a tourist season that runs from about May to October, and we are a very heavily tourist oriented town. I thought when I moved away from Orlando, I was getting away from all that, but I was so very wrong.
Oh no!
It's just the manner in which they arrive that is different.
You can take the boy out of Blackpool.
Exactly.
So, hey, Michelle.
Hey.
I hear that you're a little under the weather. Is that right?
I have an ear infection.
Well, we'll get you some Dimetap and we'll get you better for sure.
Robitussin.
I'm sure that'll be really good in my ear. Make sure my ear will like grape flavor.
It'll be an aural suppository.
Oh! Boom, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a treat to introduce our San Francisco treat, Miss Nancy A. Nancy!
Hello! How are you all?
Things are going okay?
Yeah, it's cool. I just got back from a weekend ukulele retreat.
Oh, God, the ukulele again.
Festival. It was more of a festival.
It was a festival.
In the wine country.
Ooh, la-di-da.
To dance before the prince. Sorry.
Did you fret about getting there?
God.
But I did whine a bit.
Jesus. Let's not
pick at this.
God. This is all gold. Gold.
Ukulele pun.
So moving right along.
I didn't think of a ukulele pun, so I just yelled out ukulele pun.
I can't tell you anything.
We'll insert one in editing later.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do that, won't we, Chaz? So anyway,
ukulele'd probably.
Oh God! Okay, your band, your band. Now who's pushing buttons? Somebody's pushing buttons.
It might be somebody who was using her phone and laying in bed, and her cheek is hitting the number 8 repeatedly. But she's now fixed it.
Oh. Holy crap! I'm going to start this thing off right now, and I'm going to tell you how I feel. And we're going to get to Chaz, Michelle, and Nancy in just a second. But Uncle Lou has something to say. And it's pretty important to me. Because right after I watched this episode, I'm on Facebook, as I am always, right, Nancy? So
you kind of live
true.
There.
So
he's got a little house.
A little house. A little
backyard.
Oh, great. Facebook land. Oh, I adore it. So anyway, I'm looking around at my my feed, and not just one, not just two, but about three bitching about this episode. And I'm like thinking, and I can understand gripes about, you know, the implausibility of some things on Doctor Who, but hello.
Yeah.
Police box traveling through time and space. Come on, people. And, you know, one of the reasons when I started the Happiness Patrol, and the reason I named it the Happiness Patrol, is because I wanted to talk about Doctor Who and, you know, one of our favorite shows, if not our absolute favorite show, in a positive light. Because there's too many people. I've been to a lot of conventions. I've seen a lot of people who are like fans. And they just bitch about their show. And you know what? Everybody's got a gripe a little bit here, a little bit there. That's cool. That's fine. Because we're Whovians, we have our little opinions. But for crying out loud, this is your favorite show. You should be lifting this thing up like a religion, for crying out loud. You know, you don't hear
Hallelujah.
You don't hear Christians going around saying, you know, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But you know, that beard thing, that just wasn't plausible. You know,
well, we're all guilty of bitching. I mean, I know I'm guilty.
Well, yeah, that, but the reason
you should
I started
just kick me off the podcast.
No. The reason I started the podcast is the Happiness Patrol is because I wanted to be happy about Doctor Who, and we are generally happy about Doctor Who. But there were some people who just were kind of complaining, and I was just, and quite honestly, it pisses me off. It pisses me off to see people.
There's a big difference between picking little nits at something.
Yes.
By the way, I noticed this thing, and saying, "Gosh, I wish this show were better."
Yeah,
it's the best show on TV.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just doesn't get any better.
That's true. That's true. And rolling right along, this one was such a delightful episode. I enjoyed it from point A all the way to the golden arrow at the end.
I know that metaphor wasn't going to go where I was.
Yeah.
It was nice simply because it's been a long time since we've seen Doctor Who be this silly and this fun and poke fun of itself. If you did not see Mark Gatiss poking fun of the classic series in here, you did not watch this one enough, you didn't pay attention. Mark Gatiss did an excellent job. There were some strange little plot things, but you know what? None more strange than any of Tom Baker's run at all.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think this is why I liked it a lot. You'd find Tom Baker in these sort of situations almost all the time. And nobody really bitched and complained about it too much. But you take a fine writer with a reputation like Mark Gatiss and gives us this light material that's fun and it's light, but that's okay. You still had the heaviness of the Doctor not believing anything. He was constantly trying to prove that Robin Hood was not real, but it was great. It showed the cynicism, and I like that. I think the contrast was great, and I thought it was wonderful. Michelle, let's start with you. How did you? How many times did you see it, and what did you think? What was your overall opinion?
I watched it 2.5 times because I really liked it. Like you said, it's fun and lighthearted and goofy in a way that we haven't quite seen before in the new series. Of course, there have been fun and lighthearted stories with rather dark turns towards the end, you know, but they historically haven't been as well received. Like, for instance, Gods and Monsters, I think, is as goofy. It's pretty lighthearted and goofy.
Right.
Yeah.
As we were able to get in this new series. And that is generally reviled. And I quite like it, except for the very, very ending. But that's a different episode altogether. I loved how fangirly Clara was, but I liked all the little places where the audience who has been paying attention can feel a bit clever. Like, for instance, I figured out pretty quickly early in the episode when the Doctor won the archery contest that he was cheating, because if the sonic screwdriver doesn't do wood, it certainly can't make hay explode. Well, I thought that was funny. I laughed so hard. I'm like, you cheater. You were cheating. You know,
cheater.
I was kind of like when he did the trick shot, I was like, meh, well, I'll give it to him. And then the explosion happened. I went, you're a cheater. And I like it.
And he owns up to it. I love that.
Yeah, he owns up to it later. Well, only when he has to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so I liked all the little, you know, the fires of Pompeii and nods and next doctor nods and this and that and the other. I found Robin and his merry men were certainly very cheerful. Like, super cheerful. It did kind of grate on me. It's like, okay, yeah, you're merry men. You're cheerful. We get it. Let's move on a bit. Like, maybe that might be what people are reacting negatively to. Once again, I had a little problem with the pacing in this. But you know what? I think it was fun and it was cute. And it left us with some interesting questions. Mm-hmm. Like, why does the spaceship have a database that's completely full of Earth folklore, you know, if it was only manned by robots? That was never answered because
mm-hmm. obviously they downloaded the entire Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, updated edition.
Oh, God.
Mostly harmless.
And mostly harmless.
Yeah, that's why I said updated.
So I just... You know, and I love the one of the examples of Robin Hood was the Patrick Troughton Robin Hood, and I thought that was adorable. And also, it might be a where do the faces come from kind of moment that the Doctor himself just didn't sort of notice. But I enjoyed it. And
that's cool.
I thought it was cute.
Cool. Favorite scene?
My favorite scene. I think my favorite scene was Clara talking to Ainsley. I mean, the Sheriff of Nottingham, and you know, a lot of people have been saying that they think that the Sheriff of Nottingham is kind of like looks a bit like Anthony Ainsley. And I think if you look back at like depictions of the Sheriff of Nottingham, he's always got long black hair and usually a beard. He always kind of Anthony Ainsley looks like the Sheriff of Nottingham.
I think that's a classic bad guy sort of look.
Yeah, it is.
Dark,
in particular for the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a blonde Sheriff of Nottingham.
But there were moments where you thought, channeling Ainsley there.
Yeah.
Chaz,
now, you.
I know you're itching. You're itching, Chaz. I'm itching to find out what you thought about this one.
I thought, first of all, let me say this. If you didn't enjoy this episode, or at least some aspect of this episode, the inner 12-year-old in you is dead. I'm borrowing that from a friend of mine who summed it up far better than I could. But this was a very necessary episode. First of all, it does advance the meta plot a bit, but also it shows a lighter side. Mm-hmm. And it shows, in particular, that Capaldi can do deadpan comedy with the best of them. So I really did enjoy it. Yes, it's not the most important episode in the world, nor will it become an all-time classic, but I think that Doctor Who, as you guys have already pointed out, has a long, rich history of a slightly goofy history. So so this is no sillier than Victory of the Daleks, at the very least, from the same writer, right?
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Carnival of Monsters, anyone? Hello?
Yeah.
In fact, that episode got referenced along with about 100 others. I mentioned this last week, but man, is it a good time to be a classic series fan, because we got references to the Ice Warriors, the Time Warrior, the Crusade, Nightmare in Silver.
Were you making a list while
Carnival,
you were watching?
Of course.
It?
Carnival of Monsters, the King's Demons, the Day of the Doctor, when he talks about the fastest way to get information is to get captured. Uh-huh. Deep Breath, and even
Fires, you know, of Pompeii. Two references to fires.
Yes, yeah. And even Thomas Beckett, for heaven's sakes. not part of Doctor Who, but still, I really appreciated that. And of course, we'll talk about this a little bit later. The cameo.
Uh huh.
And even just a note about the original I guess it wasn't the first Robin Hood movie ever made, but it was the one most people remember that really cemented in our minds the whole modern-day version of Robin Hood, which is the Errol Flynn film. And that was actually referenced.
Well, a couple of references.
Yeah, he made a reference to Errol Flynn.
And the Daffy Duck one.
And the Daffy Duck one.
Well, also, you know, sliding down the banner with the knife. That wasn't from the Errol Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Captain Blood.
That was such a funny little scene because, you know, you could tell that Clara was having such a great time because she's like looking, she's almost looking directly into the camera. It's almost as if she was just about to break that fourth wall.
This is a girl who previously told us just an episode or two back that the only person that she's ever admired, the only picture she ever had up on her wall, was Roman philosopher Marcus Aurelius.
No.
And
no.
No, no. She said she had a crush on him. I'm sorry, you go, yeah. Nancy.
I mean, I think it's perfectly understandable that as a little girl, she probably adored the Robin Hood stories, as many of us did.
She wasn't in love with Robin Hood because Robin Hood is taken.
Yeah.
She clearly just wanted to get into that dress.
Yeah. That's for sure.
But I thought it odd that when the doctor gives her the chance to go anywhere, that she doesn't pick that guy. It just seemed like it was an out of nowhere reference to all of a sudden now I love Robin Hood.
I don't know. Maybe she was just thinking about it. Maybe she just reread it. I don't know.
That's true.
Maybe she doesn't want to be disappointed.
Maybe.
Also, she's not a teenager anymore.
Well,
it didn't bother me or ruin the story, but I just thought it very thrown in there.
Ah, okay.
And built up to.
You are nitpicking, yeah. Who is the actor that played Robin Hood?
Tom Riley.
Now, is he American?
No, he's British. Wow. And he's been in some other stuff.
He had a very American swagger about him, I would have to say.
Yeah, he did.
he had an Errol Flynn swagger.
Yeah, which was great. So anyway, Chaz, you really enjoyed this episode then.
I did. First of all, I was keen after the last two episodes when the one we're about to get seemed pretty heavy.
Uh-huh.
So you need Doctor Who is a box of chocolates, to borrow a bad analogy. and you should get a variety. And right. So the show, this is one of the pinnacles or principles that the show revolves around, is that it changes it up every now and again. And this was one of the changing it up episodes. And I appreciate it for that. It's one of the mysteries that as often as the Doctor has visited this particular time period, that he's never run into this character. And the reason is because he doesn't really exist, which is actually true. The Robin Hood's a composite character made up from basically people from history, but the legend goes back a long way, and I'm not going to get into that whole lecture, but there isn't really a Robin Hood. The Doctor is right, but when what I liked about particularly the ending was, faced with incontrovertible evidence, he changes his view. Gosh, I wish more people would do that. And the other thing that really touched me about this one that I found delightful was at the beginning of the episode, when he's still convinced that these are all androids or holograms or miniscopes or something, he tells one of them, the lute player, that you're going to be dead in 6 months, and then leaves at the end of the episode without fixing that.
That's okay, though.
But we've seen that in this Doctor. He's not afraid to let nature take its course, or what, you know. That's an alien sort of thing. That doesn't seem like a very human sort of thing. I mean, which makes him, hey, he's a Time Lord, for crying out loud. You know, he knows that people are born and die, you know, in a blink of an eye for him. So
it's not like he can't always just randomly have a test tube full of something that tastes like onions in his pocket.
Well, I also like the fact that all of the other characters just relentlessly liked this guy, even though he was always being horrible to them. I could totally have seen Colin Baker do this episode. No problem.
That's funny.
The cut scene, and I mean cut in more than one way, that that was left out of the episode for sensitivity reasons.
Uh-huh.
It was, I think they made the right call on that particular point for now. I would be very upset if it wasn't on the DVD version. But in cutting that scene, they had to lose a significant plot point.
Now tell us about the scene.
Well, the scene involves an alternate version of the fight with the sheriff towards the end. And in a nutshell, Robin successfully beheads the sheriff of Nottingham in the fight, only to discover that the sheriff is, in fact, a robot.
Ah.
Oh, that explains.
A cyborg, I should say, because he distinctly says he's half human. But the head tells you this part while it's still on the ground, by the way.
Oh, fine.
So at some point there, I've forgotten now who picks it up. I think it's Robin himself actually puts the head back on the sheriff so that the fight can continue. And then we see it as it played out from there. But when I was watching the television episode and I noticed that the sheriff fell in there, there's a cut back to him and two hands coming out of the gold, the molten gold. Which shouldn't have happened if he was all human. So I thought, there's something wrong there. When I saw the cut scene in which the sheriff is revealed to be a cyborg, that made it clear to me that even though we didn't get a Missy appearance in this particular episode, we may very well, that may be the opening scene of the next one.
Huh.
But we're back to cyborgs looking for the promised land again.
Huh. So, Nancy, you were at the ukulele festival. How many did you get to see Doctor Who at all?
I did when I got home. I've seen it twice. I saw it yesterday when I got home, and then I watched it again this afternoon.
Hot damn, you've seen it twice. That's good.
I know.
Hell yeah. So you're moving right along. So what were your overall opinions on this one?
I have not enjoyed an episode this much since Donna left the TARDIS.
Aww.
Wow.
I mean, I really, honestly, I haven't had an episode where I just sat down the first time and loved it start to finish since Donna. Yay. No, I think it's actually a spiritual sequel to Fires of Pompeii more than anything. Because the Doctor, in the face of Caecilius, saying, "This is mine. This is my TARDIS." Remember, he said that in Fires of Pompeii?
Yeah.
Also, just the whole, when they're pouring the gold into the circuits, that just really reminded me of Fires of Pompeii. So I just loved it. I thought, because my big thing is always the script, and there was nothing unnecessary in the script. And the things that I love, the fact that, the little move on the little bridge that the Doctor does to Robin Hood at the beginning is echoed at the end.
Right.
So what Chaz said about the beheading scene, I'm actually glad they cut that because it made a nice little bookend. And then we also had that nice little bookend of when the Doctor and Clara arrive, echoed at the end when they leave. And the whole business, the Doctor gets his question answered about, Robin Hood, is he a real guy or is he a legend? Right, well, yes, he's both, just like the Doctor is. Mm. And I thought it was just so perfect in so many ways. And it was just wrapped up in a nice little ball like that. And I love that. I love it when that happens. My quibbles are fairly minor. I thought the arrow, blowing up the spaceship was a little silly, but really that's about my only gripe.
Well, the arrow only indirectly blows up the spaceship.
Yeah,
the
I know. I
still
agree.
Silly. Still
It is. I mean, it was just like, let's hit the big Deus Ex Machina button, That was my.
You just happened to have the right amount of gold right here.
Yeah. I mean, that was a little, but you know what? For Doctor Who, I'm happy. And I love the call out to the miniscope. I love Patrick Troughton's little cameo. I mean, it's just so many beautiful little things in there. And I didn't have a problem with it being light. I do tend to prefer the light episodes. When they try to be heavy, sometimes it's a lot, often it's a misstep when they're trying to be heavy, in my opinion. So I do like the light ones. People were always saying with Matt Smith that he was an old man in a young man's body.
Uh-huh.
I think Capaldi's the opposite. I think he's a bratty teenager in an old man's body.
Totally.
Because a lot of the words I hear coming out of his mouth, I could just as easily hear coming out of the mouth of my 14-year-old son.
It was really nice to see the doctor locked up in a dungeon again. which is a weird feeling that only longtime Doctor Who fans can go, yes, finally a dungeon. Oh,
you know, with the Folsom Street Fair coming up, I'm not sure this is such a good comment.
Yeah, next week, maybe we'll get a quarry.
Quarry.
One can only hope.
Oh, yes, yes.
But that banter was terrific. But Nancy brought up an excellent point, which is not just in the final scene, but throughout the Doctor's interaction with Robin Hood, you are seeing again that same sort of talking about you, but I could be talking about me thing going on that we saw in Deep Breath.
The whole duality of, are they talking about the bad guy or are they talking about the Doctor? You know, yeah.
A lot of that going on.
Big time.
This whole series is positively Cartesian.
Chaz, I can't remember exactly what Robin Hood called the Doctor when he pops out of the TARDIS.
Ah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I made a note about that.
I bet you did.
It was, you bony rascal.
You bony rascal. Yeah. I love that. The bony rascal.
Which is actually a reference back to Time Warrior.
Are you kidding me? Oh, that was a reference. Jesus.
Can we just tattoo geek on your forehead?
I'm gonna. He's probably already got it on his ass.
You know. Some of us.
Well, you know, that neon sign he wears floating over his head is in the shop, so.
Some of us have been here for the whole movie and paid attention.
Yes, indeed. So I'm glad you were paying attention.
Oh, another thing I loved. Uh-oh. I loved Maid Marian. I love that she's pretty much in there, you know, being a heroine the whole thing. And they don't realize that's her until the end.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
When she's revealed like K-9 at the end of school reunion.
I was very pleased that we didn't get a Clara Robin love story going on there.
Yeah.
There was googly eyes for sure.
Well, like I said, every girl and boy knows that Robin Hood is taken.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. But it was that was another funny little line when he Clara comes out of the TARDIS and he's like, "Wow!" He goes, "You got any more in there?"
Yeah, that was cute.
That was great.
That was a great dress.
And I can't wait to see the cosplayers go nuts over that dress.
There was a girl in that costume at the Deep Breath event in New York.
Oh, really?
Already?
Oh, yeah. There was
they got the work
advanced pictures. Yeah. God.
Yeah. There was a scene with what I am calling a leaf of Clara's and cosplayers. And I've decided that a group of Clara cosplayers is called a leaf.
I love that.
A leaf of Clara cosplayers. And there was this one girl and she was in this red dress and she had the little chainmail coronet, and I was just like, what is she dressed as? And then I saw the preview for this and I went, whoa. That was cool.
Jenna definitely looks good in red.
Well, she just sparkled in this episode. I mean, I think that she's just adorable.
Oh yeah.
Completely. She's great.
Yeah.
Jeff. Well, I never thought I'd hear the day that Nancy A would be warming up to a Moffat companion. Well, well, well.
I've always liked Clara.
Uh-huh.
She's cute as a button.
Did you notice there was a little bit of Pertwee-style Venusian Aikido going on there?
I did notice that.
He even went, ha!
Yeah, he even went, ha! That was a nice callback to Pertwee. The trout, but the what was really heartwarming to me for multiple reasons was, yes, I'm a big Troughton fan, but when his picture popped up as Robin Hood in the data bank of all the different interpretations of Robin Hood, that was very heartwarming to me because it was Troughton, yes, but it was Troughton not in Doctor Who. Uh-huh. And yeah. There's a lot of fans who have no idea that Trout never did anything else. And so, yes, he was actually Britain's first ever TV Robin Hood.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So,
he did Shakespeare too.
I thought that was a nice homage. Yeah, he did tons of things, but he was often disguised and, you know, made a point of trying to change his performance all the time. Mm-hmm. But I wish it was a 1955 six-part series, I think, where they told Robin Hood with Pat Troughton as the star. And I would kill to see those episodes. Sadly, I think they are lost, but it would be wonderful to see them again.
Cool.
Ironically, he actually turned up as a guest star from time to time in the Richard Green Robin Hood series that came later.
Hmm.
But not as Robin Hood.
Now we're going to have to go look up stuff. So, thanks, Jess.
I'm responsible for the educational portion of the show.
You gave us homework. That's good. And Peter Capaldi doing comedy was great. I've only seen clips of his show where he says fuck a lot. What's the name of that show?
The Thick of It.
Yeah. I've only seen like little clips on YouTube here and there of that. But when he was arguing in the dungeon with Robin Hood, I could almost see that character come out there, you know? And I kept wondering, he says, what the fuck are you going to do, you know? I was really waiting for that to happen.
Robin Hood. Fuck you.
Who's this little cotton green kites?
You know? You're fucking merry fucking men.
Yeah. There you go again, laughing again. That whole thing was just, oh my God. I've seen a lot of people compare it to like the Blackadder episode of Doctor Who or something like that. So.
Oh.
Well, this is a perfect example of why Capaldi's such a great actor.
Uh-huh.
Not only can he be the lead, but in this episode, he's mostly background, really. It's really mostly in the hands of the other actors, and Capaldi just lets that go on. He's magnificent where he is,
uh-huh.
But I wouldn't call it a Dr. Light episode, but he certainly steps back a bit and lets the other artists take the fore most of the time, and I thought that was just exactly, after the last two episodes, that's exactly what we needed. I want to mention one thing.
Sure.
I'll tell you why this is, as Keith Topping said, it's the most Doctor Who episode in quite some time. The perfect icing on that cake, at the end of the episode, we got the little trailer for the next one, which we'll talk about in a minute. But that trailer alone was enough to send my wife behind the sofa.
That looks creepy.
She's like, I'm not sure I'm going to watch that one. I am. That, this is pushing buttons. I don't want
it. It smacks of Zagreus.
He's so cute.
To me.
Did you know that Eleanor MJ, she sent us her thoughts on The Robot of Sherwood, and we need to listen to that now because she's fabulous.
Hi, guys. Me again. So, Robots of Sherwood. Another Mark Gatiss episode. Have I mentioned how much I adore Mark Gatiss? Because I really, really adore Mark Gatiss. This was a real nice change of pace from the last couple of episodes, which have been quite serious. This was very silly, which happens to be just how I like my Robin Hood. Seriously, my favourite Robin Hood movie is Robin Hood Men in Tights. I like Robin Hood silly. And this really was quite silly. I'm not going to think too much about the plot because, you know, it's probably quite easy to poke holes in. Yeah, the gold thing. Yeah, I'm not really convinced about that. But anyway, but loved the Doctor was still grumpy and, you know, arguing with Robin constantly because, you know, Robin couldn't possibly be real. I love the fact that it played on the idea of what's real and what isn't and how do legends get started. And is the reality important or is the legend itself important? You know, Clara once again did a really good interrogation scene. She's doing a few of these. I like it. And, you know, taking control of things, particularly in the dungeons when the boys couldn't stop arguing, to the point where, you know, the guard considered her the boss, which, you know, she probably is the boss, really. we had another mention of the Promised Land. What are all these robots trying to get to the Promised Land? And it's the robots that are trying to get to the Promised Land. I mean, I know Missy turned up last week with the soldier, but the soldier wasn't actually trying to get to the Promised Land, whereas the clockwork robots were trying to get to the Promised Land. And so were these robots. And they were pretty cool robots, actually. I really liked them. The, you know, robot knights. They're kind of cool. I liked them. Yeah, so really, I enjoyed this episode. It was funny and silly, and I do like my Doctor Who to be silly, and I do like my Doctor Who to be funny, and it was a really nice change of pace. So next week, looks like it's going to get scary again. See ya.
Would you like to see more like this in the upcoming season? Or do you think this is going to be the only little bright spot in the season?
I don't know. I'd like to see, you know, I think it's good to have a balance of light and dark episodes. Again, I always go back to Buffy, but I think Buffy did it really well. I mean, the balance of light and dark, I think, was really good. I think it was probably almost half. Verging on half. And I think that's a good thing, you know, because it keeps you from just getting depressed and scared all the time.
So you think that Mark Gatiss hit a home run with this one, huh?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. And yeah, can he be showrunner now, please?
God. He certainly has the experience to do it. He is a comedy writer by trade.
Yeah, good point. But but it was dark comedy. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, well, this is the guy who invented that little town with
yes.
the creepy store. So you
very
know.
Creepy.
Well, you know, speaking of creepy,
it's a little shop.
Speaking of creepy, which was an interesting sort of thing to me, I saw reflected in the design, in the sets, in the robots. When they would shoot their little laser out of their forehead, it was in the it was in the shape of a cross.
That was hardly the only cross illusion.
No, there was a lot of crosses in there, particularly in the dungeon when the light is coming through. It looked great,
well,
you know. But
part of it, I think, part of it is with the light in the dungeon. Castles did have openings for light in that shape. Robin Hood is usually portrayed much later in the absolute thick of the Crusades. This one is set quite a bit earlier, but the Crusades were mentioned, and these the robots were modeled after knights. I took it more as a something that came out of the setting. They're trying to blend in, and there's crosses everywhere. That's what I got from it, although certainly that might bear fruit later.
Well, I was kind of wondering if there was like something going on there because of the Promised Land sort of myth.
Oh
yeah.
And so, that's another thing I like that the series story arc link was just subtle.
Yeah,
it was a little thing. I like that.
Yeah, we didn't get a Missy scene, as
no,
I said.
Thank
fine.
God.
Well, nobody nice died.
Well, what about the poor peasant that couldn't work anymore?
Yeah. He hadn't met the doctor.
Yeah.
He died within sight of other people.
Yeah. So I guess no rescue for the sheriff then.
So
although he might be standing in the middle of that lovely flower bed as a statue. That would be funny. I would like to see that actually.
So yeah, so this one was really good. I appreciate the lightness of it. I love that we get a classic character like Robin Hood to compare and contrast to with the Doctor. I always, you know, this is just on a very personal note. I always love it when the TARDIS materializes in a deep wood. You know,
it's a
location too.
There's just something about that just, you know, it just makes me feel like I'm 10 years old again, you know. So I dig that a lot. Now, next week, we've got quite a different type of story coming up. Chaz, we've got a very dark story coming. And the previews did look pretty spooky. But What can you tell me? Do we know who wrote this next story, and we know the title? Or
I don't offhand, actually, for a change.
Ah,
I've been so focused on this episode that I was deeply impressed with the trailer.
Uh-huh.
It really set a very scary tone,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As my wife's reaction would tell you. But in particular, just to add icing to that cake, Capaldi doing that creepy palm. That was really something. I'm looking forward to it, but in a I love to be scared sort of way.
Right. Well, it's interesting too because you know Stephen Moffat is quite big on the themes from what scares your children or what scared you as a mm-hmm. child, and the thing underneath the bed, or, you know, somebody reaching out from underneath the bed and getting you. That's always the boogeyman is always a classic. That's for
and
sure.
Is a callback to. Girl in the Fireplace.
You and your callbacks.
Well, so, it's just, I mean, I feel like a pirate who's opened a treasure chest that is just filled with doubloons.
Doubloons.
And here's a doubloon from the Time Warrior, and here's a doubloon from Girl in the Fireplace. Ah, I'm rich.
You're rich, all right. So, Nancy, did you notice in that trailer? They're using the part of the TARDIS console that's like the little psychic link part.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, did you notice that, Michelle? Any you guys notice that?
I may have I've been sick, so
it's okay.
I was kind of fading by the end of the episode each time I saw it. So.
Yeah, I was really digging the fact that they show detail of how that's being used. After the five doctors, the TARDIS console got a panel like that, and we really haven't seen it since then. And it's kind of cool because I always wondered, like, why didn't they do anything with that part of the TARDIS? What the hell, you know? And now it's back, and I'm like going, ooh, this ought to be kind of cool. So that's kind of a neat. Speaking of, you know. Callbacks and such, but I'm looking forward to this one. Hopefully, it'll be a really cool one. So
it's called, by the way, it's called Listen.
Uh-huh.
This one has been teased since the first trailers, so it should be a fairly significant episode. And it's directed by Douglas McKinnon and written by Stephen Moffat.
Yes, Stephen Moffat. Then that explains why there's a boogeyman under the bed. So,
it sure does.
So cool. Well, listen, guys, we got to get on out of here. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Happiness Patrol. We are going to be here all season long for you, and we are going to be bringing our little opinions to your big minds. We will not call you pudding heads, not like the doctor. You know,
nope.
Because you're not putting heads to me. You're all very important. Very important.
No, we do like pudding.
But yes,
pudding
we do
is
like
good.
Pudding. Oh yeah,
especially Jell-O pudding.
I like some chocolate Jell-O pudding. Get Mr. Cosby. So, but anyway, we got to get on out of here. So, you know, Chaz. I know we've been promoting this. We are going to be live at LI Who in November.
That's true. Just in time for the season finale.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And Friday night, we're going to be on the stage live with very special guests, interviewing very special guests. And you can be there, too. Just make sure you go to their website. Hopefully, I don't think it's sold out yet. Is it sold out?
No, it has.
No.
As of our recording, it has not sold out, but you better hurry.
Yeah, you better hurry.
Because it will happen.
So and there is already an overflow hotel.
Rock and roll.
For rooms.
Cool, cool. Michelle, do you have the website handy?
Check out all of the details at longislanddoctorwho.com.
Yes.
Cool.
Guests include Paul McGann, Colin Baker, E.G. So from the 1996 TV movie, Daphne Ashbrook from the 1996 TV movie. Yes, she just got added. Nicola Bryant, yay, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Nina Toussaint White, who played Mels in the Matt Smith series. Everybody's buddy, Fraser Hines.
Yay.
And the unbelievably lovely Wendy Padbury.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma Campbell-Jones, who was Cass in The Night of the Doctor. So Yeah, we've got, I'm sorry, I almost forgot. Deborah Watling and Terrence Dix.
Hello.
In the house.
There you go.
Terry Mulloy, Colin Spall, Dick Mills, Dominic Glenn, and Jason Hallery. Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to be
and
there.
And the Happiness Patrol.
And the Happiness Patrol, so you need to be there too.
And a whole bunch of other people. TARDIS Terror will be there, David J. Howe.
Oh, yeah.
Arnold Blumberg.
Sam
a whole bunch.
Stone.
The lovely Sam Stone. Yeah. Sam Stone. Sam Stone, if you're listening, I still love you, my darling. I have not forgotten about you. So,
just remember, the restraining order is still in effect.
Yeah, this restraining. Yeah. The restraining order in the shape of David J. Howell's two meaty fists. No, we seriously love those guys. So
we'll also be at Hurricane Who in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, yes.
The weekend before Long Island Who. We've sort of done this in a timey-wimey order. We'll be at Hurricane Who the Halloween weekend, the first weekend in November, with another great lineup, many of the same people, but down in Florida. So if you can't make it to Long Island for some reason,
come to my town.
Very sad. Come to Orlando. It's a great convention. We always have a wonderful time.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So
HurricaneWho.com.
HurricaneWho.com. That's good. That's going to be a good one. So anyway, let's get on out of here. Gang, like I said, if you want some more of the Happiness Patrol, all our backlog of 4.5+ years of episodes are right there. It's at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com, and you can always email us if you'd like with your news and your comments and anything else you want to tell us. Chaz will gladly answer all of your lovelorn letters.
I have opinions and I give advice.
That's right. And that's the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. I think we've got like a Google Plus thing, but I haven't been
there
for ages. That's probably like
to
our MySpace page.
Nobody ever goes there.
That's just like Google Plus.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we're always on the Book of Face. Come see us. Go like us. It'll be great. We always post there after we edit and put the show up. So yeah, it's all good. It's all good. It is all good. And you know what? I'm out of here. I will see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. So make sure you tune in. More or less.
More or less. Yeah.
So until then. Until then, I am Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
I'm Michelle H.
Who will rid me of this turbulent priest? Oh.
We're the Happiness Patrol. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Spoon.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Jesus.
All right. Now, I'm good
to
go.
He's a crazy cat lady. We all
have. Yeah,
I certainly
really
am. And I've got a crazy cat in my lap. Hey, Michelle. How you doing?
I have an ear infection.
Oh,
how you doing?
I'm so
which part of your ear? Middle, inner, or outer?
You know, my mom used to give me for ear infections when I was young.
What's
she used
that?
To give me a spoonful of grape-flavored Dimetapp and a Dorvon.
Darvon.
Send me off to bed.
Robot. Singular.
It'll be fine.
One robot.
More brain. More brains.
More brain. I need brains.
More cowbell. More brain.
Something like that, yes.
All right, so there's your cue, Lewis. You're supposed to look for an arrow thudding into wood sound effect to replace boing.
Yep.
Although.
Just trying to be different.
You do want to hear my opinion at some point, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm getting to you. Will you calm down?
Like now that my son's home is going to start using the internet.
Or tell him not to.
It's
okay?
Boy, girl, boy,
be a
girl.
Mother for crying out loud. Let me think. What was the other?
Ha, ho, thrust, parry.
And
decoupage. Yeah.
Decoupage. the punch. So
you can do this.
So yeah.
I mean, you could even use hot glue if it like excites you.
Good Lord, I think I'm going to have to go to Google with that one, Chaz.
Are we boring someone?
That's a $5 word there.
Yeah, it is a $5 word.
Tall, skinny boy with long red hair.
Oh, God.
Should you desire, the Wester Drumlin's house is now on Airbnb.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not fucking
Holy
kidding
shit.
You. Yeah, that was artful use of a spoon.
Yeah, oh, my God. When he pulled that glove out of nowhere, what was that
all
about?
Yeah, that was just...
No, it was out of his pocket.
That's his fencing glove.
Is there any kind of whipped cream dessert sort of thing in England?
Yeah, whipped cream.
You just put whipped cream on anything, man.
Yeah.
It's Cool Whip. It's universal. Cool Whip is universal.
No. Sorry. Back up.
Cool Whip is Crisco with sugar in it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. You are correct.
It is.
Yeah.
She's not getting.
I like hard.
Wait, Lewis, I got more news for you.
We got American more news.
Cheese. Yeah, American cheese is neither American nor cheese.
Oh, it must be a Canadian thing then.
So do they have American cheese in Canada?
They do not.
Oh, and what do they call Canadian bacon in Canada?
How very un-American.
do they just call it bacon?
No, they call it back bacon.
Oh, that's right. I knew that from SCTV.
I like a back bacon burger, please.